This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What is truth? Jesus speaks to some of his disciples, some of the Jews that were following him now that had believed in him. They had seen some of his works. Perhaps they'd been at the wedding where he turned all that water into wine. Perhaps they've been around him as he's been preaching and teaching in the countryside and healing. They had begun to believe in his power. They had begun to believe in what he stood for, in who he was. And Jesus says to them now, "If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." There is something that has not yet come. What do we call something that has not yet come, but which we yearn for? We have a word for it. It's hope. Hope that we reach out for, but don't yet grasp fully. Hope that we think of, that our hearts ache for, but we cannot truly see. And so it is in this hope that Jesus lifts up their eyes to what is before them. "If you continue in my word," speaks to the future, speaks to something not yet realized, speaks to something not yet done, speaks of hope. Hope of being true disciples. And the promise of being true disciples, this promise of continuing in the word, continuing to follow Jesus where this word leads. And it will lead to some difficult places. It will lead to places of pain and suffering. It will lead to places where they are challenged to give up some of the things that they thought they needed for a comfortable life. This hope will lead them to truth. And the truth will set them free. Now, it's at this point where these disciples start to question something. Well, okay, what do you mean? What do you mean, set free? What is this truth yet? What's really the point? What's the thing that you're holding up for us? What is the hope? What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Now, we can look back with historical eyes and wonder about the analysis of these disciples. These are people who were Jews, who were citizens of the Roman Empire. A Roman Empire that extracted great tribute from them. Money that would be put towards bread and circus in the city of Rome. Money that was extracted from their communities and sent to uphold the empire. Money that was extracted with the enforcement of military might and left to the people with very little. They might not have understood what they were living through as slavery, but they were surely not in charge. And so maybe they did not understand their own present circumstance when they asked this question. Maybe they didn't understand their history, we think. Descendants of Abraham, if they think all the way back to Abraham, that first ancestor who received the covenant of God beneath the stars, who was promised descendants and a land to live and to prosper. Certainly, Abraham was not a slave. Abraham was free, free to move where he wanted, free to travel where God called him. And yet, only within a few generations was one of Abraham's children, Joseph, sold into slavery. And though he worked his way up in the house of Pharaoh and under the kingdom of Egypt, the Jewish people who would come and follow him, the Israelites, the descendants of Israel, they would come to be slaves in that land. It was a prime part of their story. It was an event that they marked every year at the Passover, their exodus from slavery, their crossing of the Red Sea, their victory over the forces that would enslave them. We've never been slaves to anyone. Maybe they don't understand their history. Or maybe they're just speaking from their experience. I actually think that many of us would probably come to Jesus with this same question. What do you mean? You'll be made free. What does that mean? What is this freedom? What is the truth? Certainly, our society seems to have a view of this religious endeavor in which we are participating with a wary eye. They wonder, the people who are not here this morning, perhaps some of the people at home, perhaps some of your children and grandchildren, wondering, what is it the church is really all about? What is this promise? What is this hope? What are you really driving for? And wonder if it's really freedom. Church seems like a lot of work. You have to get up early on a weekend morning. Might have to do some extra homework at night, reading a Bible and studying, getting together with others. That seems like a lot of work. Isn't freedom really not having to do any work? Isn't freedom being able to kick back and sleep in and turn your brain off for a little while? What is freedom? Isn't freedom not being told what to think, being able to make up your own mind? Isn't freedom the opposite of what the church is offering? This is what people outside might be saying. Seeing in the church not a force for freedom, but one of bondage. And in many ways, we have a lot of work to do, church, to really speak to the freedom that is our hope. For a long, long time, Scripture has been used not as a key to unlock the bonds and set people free, but one to bind and to scold and to hurt. This was the exact use of Scripture that Martin Luther was fighting against. Scripture used in this way, not to free, but to hurt. The church in his day, so many hundreds of years ago, had found in Scripture and through the words and through decades and centuries of church thought, ways to use the words in Scripture not to set people free from their sins, but to extract payment from them for their sins and for the sins of those around them. Indulgences were being sold. Indulgences, pieces of paper that you could purchase. And as soon as your money for the indulgence rang in the box, the soul from purgatory would spring into heaven, is what they were said. And Martin Luther had a problem. Here was the work of the church. Here was this core of this promise of Jesus. And yet, when he looked around at the impact it was having on the lives of the people in his towns and the villages around him, he saw it only oppressing them, driving them into poverty. People who were taking money from the mouths of their family so that they could purchase these pieces of paper. People who would give up on their investments to give for these pieces of paper, all meant to go and build the great basilica in Rome. And Martin Luther had a problem. And so he wrote down 95 reasons why he had a problem. He called them his 95 theses. And he nailed them on the door of the church, kind of on the public message board. And in those theses, he speaks to the power of the word. The power of the word to free, to save, to set people free from their bondage, to call us to the best of who we are and who we can be. In that, he sought to grasp hold of the faith and the hope that Jesus is speaking of here in this moment. He sought to grab the truth that truly frees. Truth that the blessings of Jesus are given by Jesus through no deserving act of our own, but are given and promised not by what we can do, but by who we are and who loves us, the person of God through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says to those disciples who believed in him, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And what is this truth? The Gospel of John begins with a grand picture, a retelling of the story of the creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The beginning of the Gospel of John tells us who this Word is, tells us who this truth is. And who is this Word? Who is this truth? We meet it in Scripture, but it's not identical with that book that we just gave to you, our third graders. We meet this Word in Scripture, but it's not limited to what's in those pages. We meet this Word in flesh, in relationship, in love. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. And when he tells his disciples, if you continue in my word, he's telling them, if you continue in my ways, if you continue in me, if you stay in relationship, if you trust as I trust, if you love as I have loved you, then you will know the truth. The truth that you are worthy of love. The truth that you do not need to earn it. You do not need others' approval for it. You are deserving of it all on your own. There is so much that Jesus does, and much of it contained in Scripture, but much more that could not be contained. Later on in John, the gospel writer will write, there are many things that Jesus did, and if every one of them were written down, the entire world could not contain the books that would be written. The Word of God fills the world and overwhelms it, the gospel writer is saying. This word of freedom and truth and hope fills the world and cannot be contained except by the power of love. So what do we do with this scripture then? Scripture that can be used to justify so many problems, so many harsh things in our world, so many ways of challenging us in our faith. What do we do with it when it gets difficult? Well, we hold on to it. It is our foundation. It's the foundation on which we come to know who Christ is. But we also have to hold on to the truth. Promise that this Bible, this book, is nothing without Christ. That it is Christ born and loved and crucified that we come to find here, but resurrected as well. In these words of Scripture, we find our own failures. We see the cross that reflects back to us our sin and our weakness and the limits of our own being. The Bible is law as well. It teaches us and shows us who we cannot be and what we ought to be. But it is that gospel. It is that gospel promise. A promise that we can be freed by it yet. It's a promise of Christ, a promise of love. And so what does it mean when it says you will be made free by the truth? What is this truth? So simple, and yet so easily overlooked. There's a little song that we learn as children that holds the whole of that truth in it. And the Bible tells us so. Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen.
By grace we have been saved, saved by grace through faith, not because of what we do, it is the gift of God.
All together.
By grace we have been saved, saved by grace.
Rest your body, rest your